all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlove.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense from the shores of Lake Wissota, where it's another beautiful day up north, albeit a bit chilly, 42 degrees right now for folks listening on 93.5 The Tap. It is 39 in Prairie du Sac, 47 up in Clear Lake where folks are listening on Lake Air, 45 in Nina for folks listening to Oshkosh Air Support, and 43 in Ringle for the folks listening to Bull Falls Radio out of Wausau. It's Monday, June 12th. Nice to have you along and hope you had a great weekend. Coming up on the program this morning, can we talk about three-term Tony? Governor Tony Evers shows he's no stranger to Wisconsin politics, saying something at this weekend's state Democratic convention that already has people talking about 2026. Also, we'll talk to State Senator Kel DeRoys as Wisconsin Democrats gathered for their annual convention in Green Bay over the weekend. Lawmakers celebrated recent successes in statewide elections. They expressed optimism about 2024 with Tammy Baldwin and President Biden. And they groaned over the prospect of supporting a compromise bill with Republicans that provides more funding for local governments and public schools, but also a lot more funding for voucher schools as well. And Senator Roys will be our guest at 7:30. Also, we'll have the latest on the federal criminal charges against former President Donald Trump over sensitive documents regarding national security that he took improperly, handled sloppily, spoke about recklessly, and tried to hide from law enforcement seeking their return. That's all to be discussed today. Along the way, if you've got questions or comments, our studio line is 844-967-2789. And you can send messages by email, radio at upnorthnewswi.com. Aaron Zommers joins us from the studio in Madison, where we are getting our work week underway. Quiet weekend for you, I assume?
Yeah, pretty quiet. Didn't do a whole lot, and that's okay. I like those weekends.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it had previously. This past weekend, I went up to Green Bay and wandered around the state Democratic convention. It's a bit of a smaller affair, you know, in the off years compared to election years. And that's actually a little bit nicer. You can have, you know, more conversations with people. It isn't quite so crazy, but, you know, still not a bad time to get people together and talk. Civic Media had a booth up there. And as I talked about Civic Media to folks all around there, we have more listeners than we might have guessed, Aaron. People are kind of liking what they're hearing.
Well, that's awesome.
I know. So it almost makes it worth it for that early alarm that we have to set.
I think it's worth it.
Almost. And I mentioned as well, I have been moving furniture all over the place before and after the Green Bay trip, because we're getting some new carpet installed, and it has meant cleaning out some closets that haven't been cleaned out since the last recarpeting about 20 years ago. So if anybody out there, if maybe you think your niece for dress-up time would like some bridesmaids dresses, I mean, they're like the big poofy sleeves and a big bow on the butt, you know, the way that bridesmaids dresses used to be in the 20th century. We might have one or two or three of those available for her.
Do you think they might fit someone who is almost five?
Well, somebody who's five but wants to pretend that they're 20, sure.
Okay, okay, I'm sold.
It would fit them just fine. We also had to go through, though, your niece has some favorite toys, I'm sure. And then some other toys that maybe you or others got her as a gift but don't get played with quite so much.
Yeah, I'm sure there are some.
Well, we had that going through thinking, okay, this toy, you know, because we have a lot of toys from our kids and now our grandkids. And, you know, we know which ones our daughters aren't going to play with anymore. They're in their 30s. And that the grandkids probably won't play with. But will they notice them if we kind of weed things a little bit, if we kind of thin things out? I mean, there's a couple of stuffed animals that are never played with and, frankly, looking a little like roadkill, shall we say, a little haphazard over the years.
Stuffed animals are a really tough one.
An eye is missing or something. You
know? Yeah, those ones are really tough to weed out, though, because they might not play with them. But if a kid notices their stuffed animal is missing, they're like, what did you do with Betty?
Where's Binky? Yeah, exactly. So we had to think about that really carefully. But we did do a little bit of weeding so that we could get that all done and get ready to go. So plenty of tasks to keep us going, even if it was a little cooler. We then went to go see some live music up at the Mallard, this resort just upriver from us. And we saw this three-piece band, and they were playing outside along the river. It's very picturesque. And I'd never heard of them before. They were called the Kenosha Kickers. Three guys, two guitars and a fiddle. That's it. They sounded amazing. I mean, these were folks who I guess they've been together playing music together, you know, all their lives or much of their life. It shows, you know, when you get that much practice time in. They were doing Allman Brothers, you know, Grateful Dead, you know, Charlie Daniels, of course, with the fiddle. And I mean, can you really beat live music outside alongside the river?
The answer is no.
No, that's exactly right. So we had a wonderful time. The Up North News Daily Newsletter came out this morning, and in it, it has an article by Christina Lurie, who will join us tomorrow, talking about the four-day work week and what would you do with 52 fewer work days per year if you could get a four-day work week where you work. On our website, you can read the full indictment of Donald Trump and, you know, judge for yourself what you're reading and whether it looks like somebody who should be charged and put on trial. Also, my editorial on Congressman Tom Tiffany's phony milk war claim, trying to protect chocolate milk when there is no war on chocolate milk, just like there's no war on Christmas and so forth and so on. And on our social media site, a video report on Merck suing to prevent you from seeing lower prices for prescription drugs. All right, we'll talk a bit more about the state Democratic convention and Donald Trump's indictment and much more coming up this Monday here up north. This is jazz keyboardist Chicoria on the Happy Anniversary Charlie Brown album. Born this day in 1941, he passed away in 2021. Just an amazing musician, and I never get tired of hearing the Great Pumpkin Waltz or many other of his tunes over the years. In sports, the Brewers and A's wrapped up their three-game series yesterday afternoon. The Oakland A's, on pace to have one of the worst seasons in modern baseball history, swept all three games this past weekend in Milwaukee, winning Sunday's matchup 8-6 for Oakland. It was their first series sweep of the season, and actually they've now won five in a row total. The A's have not won five straight games within the same season since September of 2021. Christian Yelich homered for the Brewers, but again, Christian Yelich is seems like one of the few players who was on the opening day roster. There have been so many injuries. There are so many people playing for the Brewers now who have tried to keep things propped up. But, you know, again, the inexperience shows, and the Brewers have now lost four straight. So their loss and Pittsburgh beating the Mets means the Brewers have now once again dropped back to a game behind the Pirates in the National League Central. The Brewers are off today. They're traveling to the Twin Cities. They will play the Twins tomorrow night and Wednesday afternoon. And you can hear those games in the Fox Valley on Oshkosh Air Support, 98.3 and 1100 AM. And news from the center in Richland Center, 107.7 FM, 1450 AM. The other winter sports still going on now, as I call them, the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup and the NHL. And in both cases, it does not look like the teams from Miami are going to come out on top after all. We wondered if we'd see that for the first time, where one city has won both the Stanley Cup Finals and the NBA Finals. Well, at this point, it won't be Miami because they're down 3-1 in both series. The Denver Nuggets are up 3-1 on the Miami Heat. Game 5 is tonight in Denver. So that could wrap things up for the basketball. And for hockey, the Golden Knights from Vegas are up 3-1 over the Florida Panthers. And game 5 in that series is tomorrow in Vegas. And again, could wrap up the season there as well. Let's get a check now on some of the stories that are most clicked on, most widely read with Sherita Booker. I want to remind you as well that coming up in an hour, we're going to get a very detailed forecast from Weatherology on what is still some dry weather out there. So be careful with burning conditions or anything like that throughout Wisconsin this week. We are back on Up North News Radio, and my Up North News colleague, Sharita Booker, is here, who helps manage the many social media postings that you'll find from those of us working at Up North News. Sharita, how are you?
How are you, Pat?
Very good, thanks. Now, you are busy posting things on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, you name it. And each week we ask you, you know, what posts are doing particularly well. And the first one that you noted for us is actually more of like a history lesson in line with LGBTQ Pride Month. Tell us what that post is about.
So that post was a simple graphic that said, in 1982, Wisconsin becomes the first state to ban employment discrimination based on sexual orientation. Activists have been trying to get that bill passed since 1967, and Republican Governor Lee Sherman Dreyfus signed it into law in 1982, and no other state passed a similar bill for 9 years until 9 years later.
It's really something that for all of the back and forth, still in Wisconsin and elsewhere, I think sometimes people lose sight of, again, the very progressive traditions of Wisconsin, and that the state was a pioneer in treating the LGBTQ population with the respect that they deserve. Other posts that we've had include just a picture of a bumper sticker up on a lamppost that said something about ending the marriage between church and state. But there was also a pride guide. What was it, like 6 or 7 different pride fests around the state, something like that, right?
A nice little map. It looks pretty cool. It has the pride flag in the background, but it's just like pinpointing different locations in Wisconsin where there are different pride events that you can celebrate the LGBT community throughout the month of June.
Yeah, and not always, you know, in the place you'd say, oh, it's only going to be in the, you know, in the big cities, but you take a look at it and you'll see in various corners of the state where you can take part in a pride fest and show your support and your allyship for LGBTQ friends and neighbors. All right, next on our list of terms of popular posts, well, it's not just Pride Month, it's also Dairy Month here in June. And if I were to say a traveler's guide to America's Dairyland, I think most people would say, so a traveler's guide between the where you get the milk and where you get the cheese and where you get the butter. No, this is about where you can go around Wisconsin, right?
Yes, where you can go around Wisconsin and you can get cheese products, milk products, whatever. One of the places from the map that I highlighted was Apple Holler and Sturtevant. How do you say, is it Sturtevant?
Sturtevant.
Sturtevant.
Now, okay. Watch everybody's going to go, no, it's Sturtevant. So clearly we need to get better represented there. So,
okay. I've been there when I was a kid, so I have to flag that one. Father's Day is coming up, so they have cheese boxes for gifts that you can get the dads in your lives. Caramel apples, apple dumplings, any of that stuff. Also, I always pass Mars Cheese Castle in Kenosha when I'm driving up north. So they have 3 different cheeses, fresh baked sharp cheddar bread, Wisconsin wines and beers, and a lounge and a sandwich counter. So that place is probably worth a visit this month for sure.
And I hope you all caught what she said about Kenosha when you're coming up north. Because again, people are like, oh, you're not up north unless you're in Minocqua. Guess what? There's plenty of people coming through Kenosha that are happy to be up north compared to the rest of the country, which is why we have this name with such pride. There's more than 150 cheese producers that are listed in this thing, Sharita, but let me turn it on you and say, do you have a particular favorite dairy product, whether it's a cheese, an ice cream, or what have you? What do you like?
I really love custard. Everybody knows, you know, custard, Culver's has it, but I love this local place in Milwaukee called Leon's, and it's like a cute little, what do you call it? It's just
like a little, almost like a drive-in, or, you know, just kind of a throwback, you know,
like an old school kind of place.
Yeah.
But they have the best butter pecan custard there. So that's one of my go-to favorites.
Yeah. I really brought back some memories because it's been many years since the years we lived in Milwaukee when my wife was going to the medical college there, but we did hit Leon's a couple of times on South 27th, and yeah, custard. When we ask people their favorite dairy, that's a perfectly acceptable answer because it's so darn tasty. All right, last but not least, and there were folks from my neck of the woods here in the Chippewa Valley who were very excited that they were heading down to Milwaukee to go to American Family Field, and it was not for a baseball game, but what happened down there certainly did set a record. Tell us about that.
So George Strait had a concert at American Family Field in Milwaukee, and that broke new attendance records. So the last person who had a record that big was
I think it was Paul McCartney.
Yeah, Paul McCartney. Oh. So that was about a decade ago. So in the comments, a lot of people said that they had the best time and the best experience. But I did read that people had a terrible time coming out of the parking lot.
Well, you do. You do. Look, if the stadium's half full for a ball game, you're going to have trouble getting out. But that's traffic. And that's why there should be more, you know, shuttle buses and things like that. But the record, by the way, 46,641 fans to see George Strait and Little Big Town and Chris Stapleton. I'm sure double that amount of people would come in if they could. I mean, those are three big names in country music. Now, how about you? You told me earlier you hadn't been to a concert at American Family Field. There haven't been that many. But how about Pfizer Forum? You've been to anything there?
So I went to see Maroon 5 at the Pfizer in 2018. I cannot believe it was that long ago. It felt like just yesterday. But it was like the best experience. I was in the front row. I feel like me and Adam Levine made eye contact.
Ooh. Now that would be news.
Yeah, so I feel like it was just the best. I'm like, I knew like every song and I just loved every moment of it.
All right. So I'm sure a healthy crowd there, but all of these things pale in comparison to probably the biggest concert crowd in the Milwaukee area. And that actually took place at the Harley Davidson 100th anniversary party, didn't it?
Yes, in 2003, Elton John had a surprise concert at the Harley Davidson's 100th anniversary party that brought in over 150,000 people at Veterans Park.
That is just amazing. But again, there's still very much between Summerfest and everything else that goes on, people going to Milwaukee, but they're also going to see live music at so many other outdoor venues all around Wisconsin. And you're definitely in good company for good music and good social media posts about them. Sharita Booker, thanks so much for the update. Have a great day.
Pat, you as well.
Let's turn our attention now to the federal indictment against former President Donald Trump. A lot has been said about it since it originally came out. People had the weekend to kind of digest it. Aaron, you were pretty much on air with Todd Alba as people were going through this thing live. You've had kind of a chance to look through things. But what I really want your take on, and I think what most people were commenting on, was that picture that has all the boxes stacked up in the bathroom. Wonderfully captioned by somebody as Bed Bath and Beyond a Reasonable Doubt. How great or how sickening was that photo?
Well, that caption is flawless. I hadn't seen that, but that's amazing.
Perfect, yes.
It's great until you remember what exactly it represents. You're like, haha, that's funny. That's ridiculous. Why would you put all that in the bathroom? And you're like, oh, wait. This guy was the president of the United States, and now...
And he took nuclear secrets.
He took nuclear secrets.
To his home in a box in his bathroom.
Yeah.
What really gets to me is the reaction by those who would defend Donald Trump, even if he shot somebody on Fifth Avenue, and would say, you know, this person had it coming, and you can't possibly, if you're going to convict Trump of murder, then you got to convict Hillary Clinton of murder, because clearly she must have murdered somebody. House Republicans have said they're going to open up another investigation into Hillary Clinton. I don't have an answer why. Just because.
Of course.
Just because of the campaign. Of course they are. Rather than commenting on the merits of the case, which is that a former president took classified information, top secret information, out of a secured area, the White House, and stored it elsewhere. Now, I know that there have been people, there's been a lot of whataboutism, because there were papers found by Joe Biden's place, Mike Pence, Hillary Clinton. But the one difference that's worth noting is that when those instances were brought to their attention, Clinton and Pence and Biden all promptly had them returned immediately to their secure location.
The quantity.
Trump not only lied about it, not only lied about not having it, but then moved it, directed people to move this classified sensitive information about America's military. This is, and we don't know, we know he's blurted out having it to some people. That's part of the foundation of the case. But I still worry that we're going to learn who else has learned, you know, some of these secrets. This is going to unfold over a lengthy period, unfortunately, because Donald Trump and his defenders are going to make up any excuse possible. But we're always going to keep coming back to the merits of the case. America's nuclear secrets in boxes, loosely stored in a bathroom and other near public places. We'll be back. You're up north. All right, welcome back. It is 6:33 on a Monday, and Aaron, we didn't know if Dr. Lyerly was going to be joining us or not. We've established a reestablished connection to her at whatever campground she's at. So if you've got her walk-up music ready, we can start the segment again.
Okay, let's rewind a little bit.
All right, here we go.
Every time. So, anyway, it's me every time.
So Dr. Lyerly was at the state Democratic convention and talking to her, and she got to telling me a story about how if there's one viral video clip that still makes her laugh when her boys play it, it's something called Mayonnaise on an Escalator. There she goes, laughing again about it.
They know exactly when to pull it out too. Partly it's timing.
Yeah. All right, so you're out. You were camping on a Sunday night out there in somewhere in the in America's Dairyland.
I'm happy to tell you that we are at beautiful High Cliff State Park, and it's cold.
I bet it is. It's what did we say it was there? 39 or something? A little bit earlier. I was checking temperatures, and holy cow, girl, that's 43 degrees in back home in Kaukauna right now. So.
We might be going there for there donuts might be, and warmth.
And warmth, yeah. There might be a little sheen of ice on the coffee cup after you finish that. But that just tells us what Wisconsin troopers you are, that you and your man are out there braving the elements, somehow finding a way to keep warm. Did you enjoy
First, I have to tell you, it was great sleeping last night.
That I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, when it's that chilly out, you actually can sleep really good. What'd you think of the convention?
Also, probably it was a factor that made me sleep very hard last night because, wow, it was such a blast. All the conversations and the enthusiasm and the great sessions. I learned so much from some of the speakers that we had there. I had a great time. How about you, Pat?
Had a nice time too, and managed to get a little news tidbit out of it. And I think Aaron's going to play that sound for us of what got the biggest ovation for Governor Tony Evers, who had fun with the notion that for his first 4 years in office, Republicans kept wanting to refer to him as one term Tony. Here's what the governor had to say about that at the convention.
You know, some things have changed since our last convention. For one thing, people have started calling me two-term Tony. Now look, it's just family here this weekend, so I don't care what you call me. You call me governor, you can call me Tony, you can call me two-term Tony, or three-term Tony. I don't mind.
So there it was, the governor putting it out there that he's not taking himself out of the 2026 elections and a possible third term run, Kristen, which surely took care of any opportunity for lame duck conversation for the rest of the governor's term, or
love
second
it.
Term at least.
I just love it. All of the speeches. I mean, you know, there was so much enthusiasm for Governor Evers, or two-term Tony. But so many of the other speakers had great points to make. Amy Klobuchar was really dynamic, our keynote speaker. I really enjoyed Eric Genrich, of course, our friend and Green Bay mayor, who came out and had to emphasize the fact that Green Bay is the best city in the country to live in.
The number one place to live in. Top rated. And you know what? But you enjoyed showing off Green Bay. You showed off various neighborhoods and things, as did Mayor Genrich. and as did Representative Christina Shelton. I mean, the you three and others in the Brown County Democratic Party, you could tell there was just so much pride and welcoming of folks from all over the state, because some have to make a very big drive to come to one of the corners of the state. And you guys were happy to have them there.
Well, yeah, we've got this beautiful building. We're fortunate enough to have our own place where we can go and be together and plan and create that sense of community. And it just felt so good to welcome folks from Walworth, Milwaukee, Dane, really all over the whole state, and just, you know, show it off a little bit and just share all of the excitement that we have for what's ahead. The sense that I got, Pat, from everybody throughout the entire weekend was this giant feeling of hope. And man, did it feel good.
Well, you know what gave part of them that feeling of hope, because I was there alongside you as a few people mentioned the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel article where you mentioned that you are considering a possible run for Congress. And I know you haven't made up your mind yet, but you definitely collected a lot of love and encouragement along the way.
Well, it was a good place to get it. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was, like Governor Evers said, this is a safe place. This is home. So, the people. It's all about your people, isn't it? Always.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, I did. I definitely enjoyed that. And I appreciated the people who were tempered. And I really loved the people who came in and said, this is our time, baby. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But continuing to collect thoughts and ideas and just hear what people have to say and make a path forward. There's a path forward here. Regardless of what I choose, like I'm not going anywhere, but it's all about, you know, where can I be most effective?
That's true. And things can change on a dime, as we learned from one of the main VIPs at the convention, Sarah Godlewski, who told the story a couple of different times about how, you know, one moment she's a former state treasurer, former Senate candidate. And the next moment, after, you know, a visit with the governor about somebody's resignation, now suddenly she's Wisconsin Secretary of State for the next, you know, 3+ years. So things can change rather quickly in any political environment, not to mention Wisconsin.
And when you have a bench with somebody like Sarah Godlewski on it, I mean, Sarah is, again, she's this dynamo. She's got boundless energy. I found out all about how boundless it was on Saturday night. Man, she just goes and goes and goes. I mean, If you want somebody to shut down a convention with, it's Sarah. She's the reason my voice is like this. She's got all these ideas and just brilliant. So we're really, really lucky to have her.
Let's not let the Emersons off the hook either. Representative Jody Emerson and my former colleague Julian Emerson were also basically little Energizer bunnies at this site.
Yes. Oh, so many great conversations with Julian. And the work that he does, I was really inspired. I'm familiar with his work. I mean, he's prolific, but the ideas that he has about elevating voices that otherwise aren't heard and really making a change in Wisconsin, like those Wisconsin voices. So grateful to just have a little time alone with Julian and especially Jody. I mean, come on, Jody.
Again, there's just dynamos in that current assembly Democratic caucus. Josh Cault spoke briefly. Obviously, he's got some cases, some very important cases pending there. And there was so much discussion about, you know, two of those big things, and that would be getting new maps for the legislative districts once Janet Protasiewicz joins the Wisconsin Supreme Court. And of course, the state's 1849 abortion ban. And I can empathize somewhat with the attorney general, because you want to be among the Democrats who helped get you elected, but you also can't say very much because these are active cases and you are the attorney general for the entire state. So occasionally, you know, he'd be asked or somebody would say something to him and he kind of has to give you that look like, yes. How about that weather? Weather's really nice out there.
A little chilly. Yeah. Boy, it's great to have Attorney General call around, though. I mean, we all know what a champion he's been. And, you know, for me, as someone who's a plaintiff intervener on one of those cases, I get it. We can't say too much, but we can talk about what we hope to see in the future and what we anticipate and what the right thing is for Wisconsin. And those were really kind of the top line conversations that we were having.
And in line with Attorney General Call, you also had Jill Underlead, the Superintendent of Public Instruction for the state. Again, a nonpartisan race, but she knows that she was supported by many Democrats and accepted the invitation to come speak and talk about the importance of education. As important as ever this week is the Joint Finance Committee takes up the agreement between Governor Evers and legislative Republicans. We're going to talk about that with Senator Kelderoys coming up in our next hour. But, you know, you and I both know there were a lot of conversations about this agreement that is going to be good for public schools, but it's also going to give a lot of taxpayer dollars to voucher schools. And so there's going to be a lot of folks grimacing before they decide that, you know, they can vote for this bill.
Yeah, this is a tough one. You know, for a mom like me of kids who go to public schools, I'm a public school product. Democrats believe in public schools, and man, I sure would like to see more funding going to the public schools and less going into vouchers. But, you know, politics is about compromise. And we have to do it. I mean, we have to compromise. We have to find that middle ground.
That's right. Let's see. We also heard from new Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez, Congresswoman Gwen Moore, Congressman Mark Pocan, both of whom the members of Congress have a lot to say about being in a House of Representatives where Republicans are nominally in control right now. They can really sense the potential momentum if some of these gerrymandered maps that could not get fixed for 2022 get fixed by 2024. You're going to see a different makeup in Congress. And again, so long as the presidential election doesn't go sideways with mischief or what have you, it really comes back to what you said, that potential for what can happen in Wisconsin and Washington, D.C. in 2025.
Did you see that little light coming out of Alabama last week with the Supreme Court, Pat? Mm-hmm,
right. And that's what folks were talking about. That Supreme Court ruling means that maps are probably going to change in Alabama, probably going to change in Wisconsin, probably going to change in a couple of other states. And that's your difference. That's the only reason Republicans have majorities right now in both Madison and Washington is through cheating, is through rigging the maps. And that if you actually make those maps more representative of all people, if you don't just say, well, if you take out Milwaukee and Madison, well, Milwaukee and Madison voters are every much as Wisconsinites as, you know, anybody in, you know, Rice Lake or La Crosse or wherever. If every Wisconsinite is best represented by their values with fair maps, then we're going to get policies that are better for public education and for healthcare and all those other things that you heard people talk about this weekend.
This underlines that this is a long game. We've been fighting this long game for over a decade, and I really feel like we are on the precipice of making that change that we all want to see. Man, it just feels so good. I mean, we were low, but we are really getting to that point where, Pat, we're getting there.
And you know what gave me that sense of it was I spoke at one of the panels about rural media and, you know, messaging to audiences outstate, outside of Madison and Milwaukee. And you heard from a couple of these county level parties about how bad things were 12 years ago and how rather than walking away, as some people did, understandably, but other people hunkered down and said, no, and how they rolled up their sleeves and exactly what they did from an organizational standpoint, the relationships that they, you know, built with their community, the messaging activity that they did through newsletters or signage or advertising or what have you. And that's really, that's the only way. The only way is through. The only path is through, mm-hmm. they decided. Mm-hmm. And 12 years later, they have record memberships. They saw numbers for Janet Protasiewicz. They saw numbers for, you know, Tony Evers that showed them that is work that pays off and work that has to continue. Because if there's one thing Tammy Baldwin noted, it is to not get overconfident about 2024. That, yes, things are better and more organized for Wisconsin progressives, but this is still very much a, you know, close to 50-50 state.
And if there's one thing I know about folks who live in rural areas, it's that they know the value of hard work and they're willing to do it. And that's what we're seeing right now is the result of all of the hard work that they've put in.
It was really nice, and it was nice of the folks up in Green Bay at the Oneida Casino and the Radisson there to have all of those visitors come through. I don't know where the one next year is, but it's going to be a lot busier. It's going to be a presidential year, and potentially with some new maps, which could bring out a whole bunch of new legislative candidates. I know you're talking to some of those folks right now, just like the way some people are talking to you with the same message, you can do it, you can do it, or whatever it is you say to recruit legislative candidates.
I say, hey, you're making a difference, so let's do it on a big, bold scale so we can change the world together.
There you go. Happy camper, Kristen Lyerly, joining us from a campground someplace where she is putting up with the cold, hearing the birds sing, and sticking around for today's history lesson and music break. Coming up next, you're up north. The number one song on this day in 1965 was from The Supremes and Back in My Arms Again. That gave them five consecutive chart toppers since coming on the scene. The history books have kind of a dark day for June 12th, at least in the New Richmond area. In 1899, an estimated F5 tornado tore a 45-mile path of destruction through St. Croix, Polk, and Barron counties, killing at least 117. It was the ninth deadliest tornado in U.S. history and the deadliest ever recorded in Wisconsin as well. The number one song this day in 1999 was from Jennifer Lopez. I wonder with Jennifer Lopez, when you have somebody who does as much singing as acting, as much acting and singing as you know, did she make the most out of her career? How would it be different if she had just tried to make, you know, more records or more movies, you know, one or the other? Or, you know, did she get the most out of it, but with all being such a triple threat?
Don't you kind of feel like with somebody like Jennifer Lopez, you just kind of go with the flow, you know, like when you've got all of that talent, you just find those things, those opportunities, and you follow them. And boy, she's done it. I mean, when you said 99, you do this to me all the time though, Pat. I'm like, really? That was 1999? She still looks like she's 25.
Well, the ones who are especially athletic, you know, when I talk about triple threat, I also have to include dancing, and you throw like Paula Abdul in there, who is, you know, still dancing like she did when she was in her 20s. It's just... it's apparently a good commercial for exercise. I guess that's supposed to be good for you. I'm going to think about trying that one of these times.
I got your back.
This is a big day in U.S. Supreme Court history. It was on this day in 1967. The case of Loving v. Virginia declared that all state laws prohibiting interracial marriages were unconstitutional and that love is love. And yet this is one of those cases that Clarence Thomas, ironically, in an interracial marriage, seems to think the, you know, should not be a U.S. Supreme Court matter, but should be left on a state-by-state basis, which I find just, you know, reprehensible as an American. We are not 50 countries. We are 50 states.
Mm-hmm.
The number one movie this day in 1981 was released. Some guy named Harrison Ford, some guy named Indiana Jones, and a song by some guy named John Williams. Find out where Dr. Lyerly was in 1981 when the first of the Raiders movies came out and whether she was a fan or not.
Yeah, I was. And I kind of am inspired right now to jump out of my chair and go like run through the woods. I mean, didn't that just make you go, woo, I can do this. It's Monday.
No, because that would mean there's a big boulder coming after me and I'd just as soon not see that happen.
And we go back to the need for exercise.
Yeah. See, that's what does the t-shirt say? If I'm running, if I'm jogging, please tackle whoever is chasing me or something like that.
Yeah, you know, a boulder is definitely good motivation to exercise, but I don't really like the consequences if you trip.
Yeah. That's, look, you're going to be one or the other. The boulder's either chasing you or you're Sisyphus pushing it up the mountain. You know, one way or another, we all have to bear that boulder. Marv Albert, sportscaster, 82 years old today. Yes. Singer Robin is 44 years old today. Had a couple of hits not that many years ago, including Show Me Love. Originally from Sweden, if I'm not mistaken. Milwaukee Bucks player Drew Holiday is 33 years old today. Get this, doctor. On this day in 2015, Dave Grohl fell off the stage and broke his leg during a Foo Fighters show in Sweden. He got medical attention, but returned to finish the show propped up while someone held his leg.
Because he's Dave Grohl.
Because he's Dave Grohl.
That's what he does. I love that man. If I had to pick one rock star who I just absolutely love to have a beer with, it would 100% be Dave Grohl.
Oh, it totally. That makes perfect sense.
I think that's just the right choice with how much of a nice person he also seems to be.
Yes.
And his appreciation for the history that got him to where he is. I mean, if you've seen, I think it's called Sonic Highways, the documentary that they did, where they go to all these different cities that have inspired them and they work with a local artist and they write a song together in a local famous studio. Man, it really brings the history home. And I just, it ties it all together for me.
That's very cool. I have not heard of that before. I will have
Sonic
to.
Sonic Highways.
I will have to look out for that. Mm-hmm. We were talking before about the state Democratic convention that went on this weekend, and it, in any convention, and the Republicans will do the same thing this coming weekend, there are these various breakout sessions, I guess you could call them. And of course, every year there's some that are the kind of the same, you know, training volunteers and how to use certain computer programs. But then there's always things that change. And this time around, Kristen, we saw one breakout session all about TikTok. And teaching people how to use it, because despite the best efforts of Mike Gallagher and others, it's going to be around for a while, mm-hmm. and remain popular. But another one was about doing better outreach and communication to Wisconsin's indigenous community that you attended.
I loved that one. They ran it twice, and the woman who ran it was from the Ho-Chunk Nation, and she really explained it from her perspective, laid out the history, helped us understand where the tribes are located and how each of them is different with different governance structures and different historical backgrounds. And man, I, you know, growing up in the Green Bay area with tribal land so close to us and knowing people who come from an indigenous background, I just thought that I knew something and I learned that I did not. So I am about to learn more. My focus, my next step, Menominee County, learning more about where Menominee County came from and all of the political stuff that underlies that. Very interesting.
You know, the unique thing is that Menominee County is what it is because of a quirk of federal policy that went one way and then went another. And it's very reminiscent of what's happening up at Lac du Flambeau right now with the roads and the easements, which was all because federal policy went one way in the late 1800s, but has since, again, reverted to allowing the community to have some degree of self-determination. But again, that swing in policies has created circumstances that made an already tough life even tougher for Indigenous communities. So I'm glad you got to look at that. And we collected a little love for civic media and, you know, talking to the rest of Wisconsin that sometimes feels like flyover land. And so as we did that, you stopped by civic media. More than a couple of people told me about how they hear you and how much they like you on the radio.
That was fun. You think like, when we're together in the morning, I feel like it's just us. We're all in our little spaces. We're having like a Zoom meeting, having a nice conversation. So it's nice to hear that other people hear it.
They're eavesdropping on our little coffee clutch here. So, all right, back with more in our next hour. You're up north.